The churches helped America to become a nation in the first place. But now, 250 years later, we ask this question. Are young people leaving the church in droves? Communicator in the Christian Market, Adam McManus, writes this, quote, first, the bad news. According to research from the Barna Group, 1 in 9 young people who grow up with a Christian background abandon their childhood faith. They've been dubbed the prodigals. 4 in 10 young Christians wander away from the institutional church, dubbed the nomads. They still call themselves Christians, but they're far less active in church than they were during high school. 2 in 10 young Christians feel lost between the church culture and the society they feel called to influence at college or in the workplace or workforce. Dubbed the exiles, they say, I want to find a way to follow Jesus that connects with the world I live in. Well, now the good news. 1 in 10 young Christians are resilient disciples. Barna says, in spite of the tensions they feel between church and everyday life, they keep showing up. And the number of resilient disciples is trending upward. One of those could be viewed as 15-year-old Jake Soltis, and we're also going to talk with his father, Joe Soltis. Both of them are praying for America to experience a great revival, which is something we so desperately need, whether it's our 250th anniversary or whatever anniversary. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we have both Joe and Jake joining us now, and they're with the organization prayeratheheart.org. And I'll tell you what, why don't you two just take it away for a few minutes and go ahead and talk about your ministry and why you are trying to encourage others to become resilient disciples.
Jerry, great to be with you today. So back in 2020, we were looking at the United States. My wife had recently almost died. There was about a 10% chance she'd make it home. She had a whole host of things that were wrong. I was like all in on my wife and my kids and my family. And then after that, she got home from the hospital and I started to get alerts on my phone saying, there's a riot, you know, downtown. And then I turned on the news and I was like, man, the whole country's burning down. This is dark. And
let me interrupt you real fast. Downtown where? I mean, where are you from?
Cleveland, Ohio. So there were riots in downtown Cleveland. But, I mean, this was summer of 2020. They were happening all over the United States. You had those race riots all over the country and just this all this division. And it was just not a great time in American history. And I sat down and I wrote a plan and said, you know, how do we fundamentally change this culture and have a culture in the United States built around love of God and love of neighbor? I then took that plan and shopped it around to Christian leaders in the country through Tom Phillips, vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I got to meet Dr. Douglas Small. And then through that, Prayer at the Heart was really born. And right now we've had outdoor prayer events all over the country. Praise, worship, testimony, people coming to faith, suicide stopped, drug addiction stopped. It's been a great blessing from God. Right now with Prayer at the Heart, there's 1 million people actively praying for 1 million people in the United States to come into a relationship with Christ. And that's the Million Souls campaign with prayeratheheart.org that folks are doing now. So if you have a friend, you have a brother, you have a sister, you have a neighbor, you have a coworker, and you want them to come into a relationship with Christ and have the hope that's found in that, go to prayeratheheart.org and sign up for 50 days of prayer to pray for that one person for 50 days. And what we are saying in praying with expectant faith is when 1 million people are praying for 1 million people in the United States to have that, we will then have 1 million people come into a relationship with Christ. So that's happening right now at prayeratheheart.org.
That's excellent. By the way, we should remind everybody that America began because of a great awakening. I mean, that is to say, I mean, obviously there's the settling era, 1607, beginning with, Jamestown and so forth. But by the time you get to the mid-1700s, things have become a little bit more crusty or whatever. And then there was a great revival, the Great Awakening, and it was out of all the energy of the Great Awakening and the different colonies coming together, God brought about this great unity, and that's where our nation was born. Now let's hear from you, Jake. You are 15 years old. What do you want to add to this?
Yeah, so Jake has had the opportunity with Prayer at the Heart to go to prayer meetings and these outdoor tents of meeting where folks are seeing testimonies and people coming to Christ and all of that. So why don't you share a little bit about that, Jake?
Yes, so we just I've been going to a lot of these prayer events. We did this thing in the spring of 2023 where we just did 40 days of like prayer tents. So every day that there was like a tent of meeting, and they're all across Cleveland, the greater Cleveland area, which was hosted by Prayer at the Heart, and there was praise, worship, prayer, and then like testimonies, and everything was shared. And I've seen a lot of good things come out. I've seen people find God. I've seen how I could stop people from suicide, help their mental health, help them find God, help them find God's love. And just everything that came out of that was positive.
Wow. Joe, would you say that young people today are receptive? Young people in America are receptive to the gospel?
For sure. And I've seen this firsthand through Jake and his friends. So there are two kids that are in close friend groups with Jake. The family, you know, would go to church a couple times a year. And that was about it. Faith was not terribly important to their parents, even almost looked down upon. Two people that he met, you know, in a close friend group are on their own going to church on Sundays. It's a generation that has had, it's almost countercultural to be strong in your faith compared to like their parental generations. So, and that's why we're seeing a big awakening happening across Gen Zs. At Ohio State this year, 2,000 people were baptized in one day. I know at Buckeye Catholic in Ohio, they had 40 baptisms this year at Easter Sunday. I know across all denominations, they're really seeing a resurgence in faith, and it's happening with this Gen Z group. So this generation is really coming back to God in a relationship with Jesus Christ that we haven't seen in a very long time, which is really encouraging. We had a, like you said, we had a birth of a revival, and that revival gave birth to the nation, and now we need another revival to save it.
Boy, we certainly do. Okay, what is the difference, let's say, that the parents do for those young people who become resilient disciples, using George Barna's term, versus those who become, let's say, prodigals, or they're essentially ho-hum about their faith?
It's so important that as a parent, you demonstrate the importance of your faith, and you also live it, and then you demonstrate humility. So for like go to church on Sundays. If you want faith to be important to your kids, you need to demonstrate that it's important to you. If you consistently do that, you're going to see what God does. And that's really important. Other thing that's really important, we do, I got five boys and a girl, like we pray together every night before bed. We, you know, say, you know, our Father, we say some prayers, and then we give God thanks and praise for that day and things from that day that we're thankful for. And then we ask God to help us out with whatever petitions that we have for our family and our lives and the world, et cetera. And out of that comes a closeness to each other, because we're sharing with each other what we're grateful for and what's on our heart. But we're also, and it's important to us, but we're also seeing God's entering into that. And he's answering those prayers, and we're seeing, you know, great things come out of that. The other thing is humility. It is incredibly important. There's so many folks that have been turned off from Christianity, be like, oh, I knew a Christian and they didn't live it, so therefore they're writing the whole thing off. And it's important, because everybody's a sinner, that as Christians that we are humble, and that when we make a mistake, we admit it. So, for example, we pray together as a family. If I you know, lose my temper during the day or something along those lines, and it wasn't justified, you know, I'll apologize individually to my kids on that, or my child that on that, and then I'll pray for God's forgiveness for that in front of my entire family when we pray together. And I think out of that, people, like my kids, see a lot of like legitimate humility. They understand that they're fallen too, and they're going to sin, but God's forgiveness is infinite. And when they see the humility, it's incredibly attractive.
Hmm. That's very good. Okay. Now, I understand that you're involved in, let's say, trying to get the word out through social media. Then when you get into that kind of, realm, there's a lot of pushback and there's a lot of, attempted cancellation and just a lot of nastiness that happens. So would either of you like to address that? And we do know the promise in the Word of God in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Yeah. So I do a lot of social media stuff, on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and all the other bigger platforms, but I mostly target TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube because that's where the younger generation is. And I have seen quote unquote backlash, and I have seen people trying to cancel. But the thing is, the more you do it, the more you understand that the more people will take it as a good thing than a bad thing, the more people will listen and the less people that would judge. So although there is judging and good that comes out of it, the majority of it's good. But I think the judging comes from the belief that something is one way. See, we do stereotypes on all different things. We may not even know it, but if you think about certain religions within Christianity, everyone's going to form a belief on that type of religion within Christianity, that the people are this way, they act this way, they're more strict or less strict, they believe this but they don't believe that. So people tend to believe those stereotypes and go with it and not really open up. And I think that's where a lot of the judgment comes from, because the point of Christianity is the belief that that Jesus was the Son of God. He died on the cross and resurrected. That's what Christianity is. It's not one belief. It's the belief that Jesus existed. And we need to recognize that we all believe in that and hear opinions from all the other places.
And Joe, do you want to add anything about the whole subject of cancel culture and the kind of the, basically in effect wading into that whole social media world can have a lot of negative blowback, if you will.
Yeah, it's the reality is it's you're getting hit with a paper ball in the face. It doesn't hurt. And if you look at what the early Christians and early apostles were facing, they were facing stoning to death, being skinned alive, crucified upside down, etc. I mean, that's we're seeing that in other parts of the world. In America, it's so easy. You just have to have courage. So I'll just give an example. So I'm CEO of a company. And
just so you know, we have about 1 minute to wrap up, but go ahead and tell the story, please.
Yeah, it's a faith-based company. Oh, and the openings we see and the folks that are receptive to it and love it, even if they're not faithful on their own, or believers on their own, they're attracted to the sincerity of it and the belief of it. And we've had a really great company culture. That company culture came directly out when someone went on a website called Glassdoor and they directly attacked me for my Christian faith. And then at that point, that's when I decided I would make the company explicitly faith-based instead of implicitly faith-based. And the company has been tremendously blessed for that. We just won the best workplace, number one small business to work for in the region as a result of that. It's just loving God and loving others. People love it. They'll eat it up. Go ahead, spread the gospel. Watch the good work that God will do.
All right. Prayer@theheart.org. 10-second closing thought on praying for our nation and revival among young people.
What we will see in our country is when people unite around loving God and loving others, we will see a cultural transformation in the United States we've never seen before. And we will see that our best days are ahead of us in that hope that we find in loving God and loving others.
And may it be so. Prayer@theheart.org. Thank you so much. All the best. Bye-bye now.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye.